The song that have been chosen for the invitation after the lesson is one that I believe that will go really great with the lesson that I am bringing forth to you this morning. And the title of that song is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And of course, stanza one just goes through, I have decided to follow Jesus. But the other two stanzas, which I particularly like, because it says, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow him. That is something that I wish that all of us will do. We say that in the beginning, but as life goes on, we seem to change directions. We seem to do things that pleases us. The scripture that was read, Luke 14 and 28, again says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Now that word course can be used in many different ways. One definition that was given, it says required to be lost, suffer, or sacrifice. Now, here's a question that all of you can relate to, especially you old folks like me. How many of us, when we were young, and did the things that we did, how many of us counted the cost for what we were doing? Whether it was playing, or whether it was going and following girls, and girls following boys, and drinking, and all of these other things that we do in our youth, did we sit down and count the cost that says, if I follow this path, it's going to turn out this way or that way? And I would say none of us did. None of us ever counted the cost for what we do. Now, you guys that have been here have heard the story that I've told about Roger and myself. We was in a club that we called the Daredevils. And what we used to do is walk across the roof on 125th Street from one end to the other and jump off the roof to the next roof and all of these other things. But did we ever sit down and count the cost that says, if I miss, I'm in trouble? No, we were young. We were dumb. It was fun. We do not count the cost for things that we do. Now, how many, and I kind of know most of you because you're telling yourself, that none of us like the speed limit. We got heavy feet. But have you thought about what is the cost if I get the ticket? Well, that was me. I never counted the cost until the tickets mounted up. And so I learned how to use cruise control. Put it on cruise control and go about your business. You never have to worry about a ticket. This lesson is going to deal with us and have we counted the cost for eternal life. In other words, what must we do to receive eternal life? It's going to cost us something. We're not just going to waltz into heaven and think everything is fine. It's going to cost us. And have we thought about that cost, and are we willing to give what it takes to get to heaven? And I believe most of us want to go to heaven. And we have counted the cost. Especially as we have gotten older and older, we understand. When we were young and came into the faith, we did not understand what it was all about, like some of us who are 60, 70, and 80. We understand now. It should cost us everything to get to heaven. And we try to tell the young folks that think about the cost of being a Christian. Now that word, eternal life, or eternal, is an interesting word. And there's another word that goes along with it, and that word is eternity. This is something that we need to think about now. Eternity. Eternal. Now, I did some searching for a definition of these words, and here is some of the definitions that it gives for eternity. A seemingly endless time interval, parentheses waiting, a state of eternal existence believed in some religions to characterize the afterlife, time without end, continuing forever or indefinitely. Now here's an interesting one. Tirelessly some, long, seamless without end, for a limited time. And this individual had the nerve to say, no one can live for eternity. And that just shows you he don't know much about the Word of God. Without beginning or end of existence. Without beginning of existence. Without end of existence or duration. Everlasting, endless, immortal, perpetual, carelessness, continue without intermission, unchangeable, existing at all times without change as eternal truth. Eternity, it says, without beginning or end. Now here's some thoughts of individuals. By repeating the idea of any length or duration with the endless addition of numbers, we come by the idea of eternity. We speak of eternal duration preceding the present time. God has existed from eternity. We also speak of endless or everlasting duration in future and dating from present time or the present state of things. Some men doubt the eternity of future punishment, though they have less difficulty in admitting the eternity of future rewards. Believe it or not, the word eternity is in the Bible one time. I thought that was interesting. One time, and it's in Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revile the spirit of the humble and to revile the heart of the contrite one. One time, eternity is there. I think this is humorous. Now, this is just my point of view. I can stop this lesson right now and tell you how you get to eternity. And that is by obeying the words of God. If you obey them, eternity, heaven will be yours. But I ain't going to stop here. There's just too much in the Bible that I need to know, you need to know, of what it is we are to do. For example, we know this scripture very well. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my saying has one that rejecteth him. The word that I speak, the same shall judge him in the last day. God's word will determine where we are going. And it will only work if you allow it to enter into your heart and your mind. There is a song that I've heard, and I've written it down and forgot where I put it, and then I ran across some tape. But basically it says this: the word of God dwells in me. It is my counselor. It is my strength. And there's other things that is said. But if the word of God is in you, it's going to guide you to do the right thing. But if it's not, it won't. Here is what Matthew 25:46 says. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, what that passage is telling me, there is two eternities. One is going to be of punishment, and one is going to be of life. So which one do we want to go to? Now, I've heard some people say that they're willing to go to hell. But they just don't understand what they're saying. But me, I want eternal life. So back to that song for our invitation, that second stanza says, though none go with me, I still am going to go. I've said this from time to time. If nobody in here makes heaven but me, I'm going to be happy. But I'm going to try to take everybody with me by sharing the word of God so that we all can go to heaven. Now, there's two people, there's quite a few people really, that the Bible talks about, but in this instant, the Bible tells us of two people. And when I start giving you this, you're going to know who it is. One man is known as the rich man. The other man is known by his name, Lazarus. And we know the story. But now, here is what it said. They both died. Now check out verse 22 of Luke 16. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. The Bible does not tell us which one of those individuals was faithful and which one that was not faithful. But in verse 23, I think we can come to grips with who the unfaithful one was, because it says, and in Hades being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. So between those two people, who was faithful to God, to God's word, and who was unfaithful? And we're going to say it was that rich man. And for eternity, they both will be in their respective homes. So, if you want to spend eternity with God, you got to count the cost. If you want to spend eternity in punishment, do nothing. Do absolutely nothing. And hell will be your reward. But to go to heaven, you must do something. I want to give you a definition on a couple more words. Obey. dutifully complying with the commands or instructions of those in authority. God is our head. He sent His Son to tell us what to do. Those are the ones that's in authority to us as Christians. So, if we're going to obey Him, then we must comply with all the commandments that He gives us. Because none of them is difficult. It's only difficult if we do not want to do it. For example, most of y'all know I hate snakes. But let's suppose that handling this particular snake will cure me of whatever ails me. I still don't want to pick up that snake. But if I know this is going to cure me, I will comply with it. Because it's going to benefit me. But until that happens, I'm staying away from snakes. Now, to disobey means refuse to go along with, refuse to follow, be disobedient. The trait of being unwilling to obey. The failure to obey in a disobedient manner. That's what those words mean. So if you hear that you are disobedient to God, you are refusing to do what He said because you think you know better. And as long as you think that way, you will not go to heaven. God loved the world before the world existed. He knew man was going to mess up. He provided a way of escape, and that was His Son. And so He has given us an opportunity to go to heaven through His Son. But when we really come down to it, we all deserve death because we're sinners. We deserve to die. But God says, no, I am going to redeem man and I am going to send my Son to bring man together. That should be, for us Christians, that should be the greatest thing in the world, to know how much God loved us. That He was willing to give His Son for us. And when we think about Jesus and what He went through and what He wants us to do, we should be shedding tears. We should be shedding tears because He didn't think nothing of dying for each one of us. And if you remember on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what He said to the people that said, crucify Him, crucify Him. And when we think about that, we should thank God for sending His Son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. There are many fake churches out here. They're misleading the people that come in and listen to what they have to say. And they will tell you a story that all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, believe that He is the Son of God, believe He came from heaven, and you will be saved. And at that point in which you make this confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you can't do anything wrong to lose your life. But there's a big but. The scripture tells us in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son has eternal life. But he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So, if you believe Jesus and you do all he says, because it's not just, I believe Jesus, you got to do something about it. And if you do those things, then we are told you do not have condemnation, but you pass from death into life. It's that simple. You got to do something. I got to do something. If we want heaven, we must do something. James 2:24. James tells us, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. So now, if you think all you have to do is have faith and do nothing else, that you're going to go to heaven, you could be waiting a long time. Because you ain't going. You ain't going. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. And I like this particular scripture because it enlightens me, and I try to enlighten others. It starts off by saying, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, here's verse 8 that you should tell people about. In flaming fire, taking vengeance. On who? Well, it says, on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you don't know God, and I tell you what, it's hard not to know God. But if you get in the Bible, you will learn of God because he starts off, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it continues to tell about God. And you know, if man did not have the Bible, they would not know anything about God. And if you look at what man knows about God, it's just the covering. Because they don't get into the Bible to know who he is. And if you did get into the Bible and knew who he was, you'd be afraid and want to do what he says. But needless to say, that doesn't happen. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that means if you run across people that says, I do not believe in Jesus Christ, you try to show them this passage and walk away. Don't get in an argument. Don't get in a fight. Because if they don't believe Jesus Christ, they have no hope. And you can't beat it in them. You can't force it in them. I bring this point out most of the time I preach. I have a son that he's not obeying the gospel. And from talking to him, he never did it. He just did it because he was home. He is in this category. And we have another young lady that's supposed to be a member here that we haven't seen her for a long time. She's in this category. And anybody else who are not obeying the words of Jesus Christ is in this category. And here is what verse 9 says. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's where my son is going and other people that do not obey the gospel. Do I want that of my son? No. Do I want that of others? No. But the choice is theirs. And all I can do is to try to encourage my son and others, you must obey Jesus. But that's their choice. So, eternal life is possible, but it comes with a price, or it comes with a cost. That cost of price to get to heaven is we must remove sin from our lives. Sin cannot be there. If sin is there, then God don't want us. Because Isaiah says, your sins have separated you from me. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The will of God is we are to repent of our sins and be faithful to him. That is his will. Amongst other things he requires of us. And so, if we don't do his will, we are not one of his and we won't go to heaven. Here's what someone said on that particular verse, and I thought it was interesting. He tells them that an outward profession of religion, however remarkable, will not bring us to heaven unless the will of God is done. And we've seen a lot of so-called television evangelists that, woo, they were so great. And then the truth comes out. They were still dabbling in certain sins. They were wrong in what they were doing, period. But it comes out that they were doing other things that they shouldn't do as a religious leader. Romans 1:6. What shall we say then? Are we to remain in sin so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? If we, when we heard the gospel, obeyed the gospel, baptized, came out of the water, we were supposed to go forward without sin. But when the devil comes along and says, you know, you don't really have go to church. You don't have to be with your brethren. The church is worldwide. You can worship God anywhere you want to. And you start believing that lie. And then you become unfaithful. And as soon as you become unfaithful, as soon as you believe those lies, you're separated from God. And so you think living in that sin is going to be great? No, it is not. If you ask most people, do you want to go to heaven? And everybody will say, yeah. Even the Christians or the ones that say they're Christians say, yeah. But they don't want to give up the sin. They don't want to give up the things that brings them great joy and great pleasure. You must get rid of it. To obtain eternal life, we must do what is right and good as God has said. You know, if I sat down and thought about what I think is right and what everybody should do, that would be fine if I had control. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to us as Christians, we are to do only what God tells us to do. For example, there's a scripture, and I did some looking at this scripture, and it says one thing, but I think it will apply to us. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Now, most of the things that I looked at is basically talking about talking to people, saying wrong things to them. And we should be aware of speaking evil about our brethren, because we know what the right thing to do is. And some passages that went along with it is, if you know that you are to do this, this, and that that God says, and you don't do it, it's a sin to you. And we got so many things in the Bible that tells us what we ought to be doing. One of them is we ought to be putting one another in front of ourselves. But how many of us really do that? I'm this close. But we're told that's what we got to do. It's not there, but it's an attitude. We have members in this congregation who are sick, who need encouragement. But do we do it? Do we only wait until we see them Sunday and Wednesday and say, oh, how you doing? I miss you. I'm hoping you're doing fine. I'm guilty of that sometimes. But I've been trying to get into the habit, and every one of us has got a cell phone. Every one of us has got moments that we can call somebody. But one of the things that seemed to stop us, we said, well, I think this is a bad time. I don't want to bother them. They may be out. Call them and find out. And if they say, I can't talk, then says, I was thinking about you. But at least you tried to do something. We need to put others in front of ourselves because it is the right thing to do. If we know what is right and we don't practice it, it's a sin, and we're going to be in trouble. In 2 Timothy 2:15, this is a different translation than some of these are because I like the way it sounds. Let it be your care to get approval of God as a workman who has no cause for shame, giving the true word in the right way. And we know that, study to show thyself approved to God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is something that we should be doing on a daily basis, knowing what the word of God is, so that if we come in contact with someone, we can show them the right way. Here's another one. Make every effort to present yourself before God as a proven worker who does not need to be ashamed, teaching the message of truth accurately. You know, we can prove ourselves to our boss and the people we like. We can do everything to get their approval for a raise, for another position. But if we're honest and say, when the last time that you actually did a study of God's word to know what it means? I think we would be embarrassed. One of the things that I like about trying to teach is it caused me to stay in the Bible, because I know me. If I don't stay in the Bible, I just won't do it. But knowing that I'm trying to teach somebody, giving a lesson or whatever, it caused me to get in the Bible and go and go and go. And before you know it, you've been doing a whole lot and you got notes this big. Because the Word of God continues, it continues, it continues. We ought to be faithful. We need to want always to serve the Lord. That should be our priority. We should want to be ready to teach. And as I said, put others before us. And I'm saying this, I'm not bragging, because everybody can do it. When I became a Christian and saw how it was done, and it was just studying the Word of God, knowing what it was, I said to myself, one day I may not be here where there is a congregation. And so I need to prepare myself that when I go somewhere else, I can teach the Word of God. And we have a good example of Travis when he was overseas. That's what he tried to do. But just think, if when he became a Christian and he was just a lump on the log and he didn't learn nothing, do you think he could have done that? Do you think he would have had the courage to do that? No. But when you study and prepare for it, you will be ready when it happens. The Bible teaches us that we are soldiers. Now you tell me what army that does not prepare themselves in fighting is going to win. You got a whole army and all they do is sit around and eat pizza. Now do you think when they go into a battle they're going to win? No. You got to be ready. You got to learn how to. And that's what we all need to do. We need to say, I am going to be ready when the opportunity comes along. And opportunities come all the time. And I'm not saying that you can't say this, but I got a problem if you do say this all the time. Well, let me go to my preacher. Let me go to my elder. Let me go to so-and-so, and they can give you an answer. That's fine to a degree. But you should know those answers. You should get into the Bible and know what it says. Now, I've told you for many times, I cheat. Every time a man get up here and preach, I write down, take scriptures, and use those things. But I also get into the Bible. Because what y'all bring forth to me and what God brings forth to me, it makes me a little bit better to be ready to talk to somebody about Christ. So if you want heaven, you got to do that. Jesus must be your top priority if you want eternal life. We need to be willing to suffer loss and humiliation for Christ. We need to stand up for him. Never be afraid. Because here's what he says. In Matthew 10:37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 10:32. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, if God and Jesus is not in your life, you don't have the light. You have the devil, and you are a loser. It's as simple as that. you are a loser. I'm coming to the end. There's a lot of scriptures that I want you to think about. Think about what they're saying to you. And I believe these scriptures will build you up and prepare you in getting to heaven. There's one more story I like to tell. At my job, there's a coworker, and I told him that I'd be out of town, and we would go into singing and all of this other stuff. And so when I came back and we was talking, he said, "Well, are you singing any better?" And I said, "Nope, but I'm praising God." "Well, that's what you're supposed to do." "No, you're not supposed to know this part, that part. You're supposed to sing this song to praise God. That's what it's all about." And I'm sure you all have heard somebody in a congregation that they sound like a frog, but they put everything into it. And you should put everything you got into it to serve the Lord. We're told to sing and make melody unto the Lord. All right. Wrap your fire through scriptures. 1 Peter 2:6. "For it stands in scripture, behold, I am lying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Romans 9:33, "As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Romans 10:11, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." Mark 8:35, "For whoever would save his life and lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." Thessalonians 3:9, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example an example unto you to follow." We are to follow the examples of the apostles, Jesus Christ, and if there's somebody in this congregation that is obeying the gospel, we should follow their example. We should be looking at who is doing good and be imitators. Philippians 3:17, "Be imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and watch carefully those who are living this way, just as you have us as an example." 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 4:16, "I encourage you, then be examples of me." 1 Thessalonians 2:9, "For you recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and drudgery, by working night and day so as not to impose a burden on you, any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God." We need to know what the gospel of God is and preach that to everyone we come in contact. John 12:48 again says, "He who puts me on one side and does not take my words to heart is not without a judge. The word which I have said will be his judge on the last day." And of course, we know how King James says, "He that rejecteth me." And so, if we don't pay attention to God's word, we are going to be in trouble. John 5:24, "I tell you the solemn truth, the one who hears my message and believes the one who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, but has crossed over from death to life." That is us. If we believe Jesus came from God, God sends the word, God wants us to do it, and we do it, we cross over from death to life. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even if he dies." Again, that believing is doing. We have to do something. Now, this is the end. And I want you to think on this, because I have. Forever and ever 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 will you be with God in heaven, or will you be with the devil? Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10. And the devil who has deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. And I can be here forever of my lifetime, and it ain't going to be enough. Eternity is going to be somewhere. Which one do you want? You know how to get there. You know how to get to both places. Do nothing or serve God. The choice is yours. We offer this invitation that if there's anyone that has need of this congregation of prayers, or if someone who is not a Christian would like to be a Christian, we will share with you the gospel and what it is you are to do, and we are prepared to baptize you if that is the case. But whatever it is that you need of this congregation, we ask that you make it known as we stand in sin.